Tuesday, May 28, 2019. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense, and we hope that we can make you smile once or twice here or there. Hey, we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope that you had a safe and happy Memorial Day weekend. I hope that you got to relax with friends and family, and I hope that you got to take in a number of sporting events. Hey, if you would like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter and find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. But if you've got a suggestion, if you've got a comment, if you have a question, reach out to us. We would love to hear what you have to say. Also, be sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear. We've got hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts, a number of items over at tpublic.com. Make sure you stop by their site as well. Hey, today on the show, we do have something a little bit different for you. We are flashing back to a Daily Dose episode from the past. Now, the 2015 NBA Finals had actually just ended, and the Golden State Warriors had managed to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in six games. But who should have actually been named the most valuable player? Going to talk about that. I've actually got a little bit of a different suggestion for that. We do also discuss the Stanley Cup playoffs, a Major League Baseball scandal that had just taken place, and we even have a Daily Dose Top 5 for you today. So sit back and relax. Enjoy a throwback episode of the Daily Dose. Wednesday, June 17, 2015, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit of a different outlook on the world of sports than you're going to get anywhere else. If you want some different insight, if you want some sarcasm, you want to look at the world of sports with a little bit of a sense of humor, then you just found your new podcast. You can subscribe in a number of places. Anywhere where you find podcasts, you can pretty much find us. Subscribe on iTunes. Subscribe on Podcast Republic. A lot of different places that you can find the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Would love to have you join us every single week. If you want to contact me, there's a few places that you can reach out to me, and I have had a few of you reach out to me, a lot of different questions, some insights, some suggestions on maybe some things to put into the show. I really, really do appreciate that feedback. If you want to contact me, you can find me on Twitter at Daily Dose Sports. Same thing for Facebook. If you want to go over to our website, put up some new articles, we have some polls, we have a couple different things that you can check out over there. Yes, a lot of it is satirical, but some of it you're going to really, really enjoy. You want to check it out? DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com. That is the site you can go check us out at. This week, obviously got to talk a little bit about the NBA Finals. Going to talk some NHL Stanley Cup Final. That finished up this week as well. We've got a crazy story coming out in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about. And as usual, you want to stick around for our Daily Dose Top 5. You don't want to miss that this week. It is NBA Finals flavored, and I want you to stick around for that one. Of course, the big news coming out, Golden State Warriors last night closed out the Cleveland Cavaliers in six games. Andre Iguodala was named the MVP of the NBA Finals, first player to garner those honors without starting every game. He came off the bench for a good portion of the series. We're going to talk a little bit about who should have been the MVP. Should it have been Iguodala? Should it have been somebody else? I have somebody else that's not even on the list that should have probably been the MVP. Going to talk about that here in a little bit. The Chicago Blackhawks won their third Stanley Cup in 6 years on Monday night, which made a lot of those true Blackhawks fans happy. They love that team back there. That is a team that if you are a Chicago person and you are around that team and you've grown up with that team, there is a ton of passion for Chicago sports. That is a great, great sports town. It also made a lot of bandwagon fans really happy too. Because, like I said last week, the Blackhawks have kind of turned into that team that just seems like they are kind of becoming the Cowboys or the Lakers or the Yankees. They're kind of becoming that of the NHL. The only difference is that in the NHL, honestly, we don't care enough about it to really hate on teams that win all the time. So we're just like, oh yeah, Blackhawks, well, I don't know, whatever. We don't really pay as much attention to it as we would if it was like an NFL team. You get an NFL team that wins all the time, you know, the Patriots or someone like that, we start to hate them. With the NHL, we're like, I don't really care that much. It doesn't really matter to me. But be sure to ask that guy in your office this week that is sporting his brand new Blackhawks jersey. you know, on Friday, you know, when you do Friday, like jeans, casual day, whatever it is, and you can wear a jersey if you want or a Hawaiian shirt. Make sure that guy that comes in wearing that Blackhawks jersey, and you never even knew he's a hockey fan. Like he doesn't watch it. He's not really about it. That's not really what he does. Be sure to ask him, who his favorite player, was growing up. You know, who's your favorite Blackhawks player growing up? Because he's probably going to be like, oh man. Oh, so many of them. I gotta think about that. Patrick Kane? No. I mean growing up. I don't mean in the last, you know, 5 years. I mean like growing up, who is your, oh man, I don't know. Walter Payton? I don't know. Here's the thing. If you are truly a Blackhawks fan, you really are a Blackhawks fan, then it would kind of stand to reason, I would think, that you're also a Cubs fan, right? And a Bears fan, right? So now these so-called Blackhawks fan, you know, it's a little bit different because now, you know, the season's over. Now who are you cheering for? You big Cubs fan now? Cause I know some legitimate Blackhawks fan and they're like, yeah, I am a Cubs fan and I suffer through it every year. You can't just adopt these teams from different cities and say, oh, now that's my favorite team. Oh yeah. Kentucky. Yeah, they're my favorite team in college basketball. Oh yeah. My favorite team in football there. That's Ohio State. You can't just jump around. Pick a team and stick with your team. Now, I have a word of caution for Blackhawks fans. And you should be living large this week. You should be feeling great this week. What they've done and what Joel Quenneville does. And let's not forget, Joel Quenneville was in Colorado coaching the Colorado Avalanche. And we were like, nah, we can do better than that. We can go get somebody better and got rid of him. Thanks. But Quenneville and what they've done with Kane and Taze and that group is phenomenal. But here is just a little bit of a word of caution. You're about to have 12 free agents this offseason. Some of them are lesser names, but I mean, guys like Brent Seabrook, Andrew Shaw, because when you look at these situations, you say, are the Blackhawks a dynasty? And I guess in the modern salary cap era, we look at them and we say, well, yeah, they're a dynasty. I mean, at 3 championships, 6 years, that qualifies these days as a dynasty. You're not going to have these dynasties like we used to have, like 3 in a row and 4 in a row and, you know, UCLA 10 in a row. That's not going to happen anymore. There's too much parity. We've evened the playing field too much. And so you can't just have one team dominate year after year after year after year. But you have these salary cap dynasties now, and they are a little bit different. You know, you have teams like the Patriots who have won, you know, some scattered Super Bowls throughout different years. And you say, yeah, they're kind of a dynasty. It's not the dynasty maybe that we traditionally think of. You know, it's not the Yankees of like, I don't know, the 40s or 50s or whatever, but you have a dynasty now. But the problem with the dynasties now is you have these guys come up free agency, which is what the Blackhawks are going to face. And see, the thing is, guys want to get paid. They want to capitalize on the success that they've had. One of the greatest teams that I personally ever have seen in my life was the Chicago Bears in 85. But they only won it one time. And the reason is because, hey, eventually these guys want to get paid. And so you had guys splitting, going their own ways, having their own agendas. We already won. So what the Blackhawks have done in this time of salary cap structure and all that is absolutely incredible. Ton of credit to that group and that franchise, for the job that they've done, being able to win as much as they have. It's going to be tougher now. We have a weird story coming out in Major League Baseball. And you know, if you are a Chicago fan, Blackhawks win the Stanley Cup. You've got to be just ecstatic. But then the very next day, this story comes out in Major League Baseball. Chicago fans have to feel like it's Christmas right now. Like they just woke up and they opened a, what? Look at all the presents. And here's the first present. Oh, we won a Stanley Cup. That's amazing. And then they open another present. And apparently their arch rival, if you really are a Cubs fan, the St. Louis Cardinals, in some big trouble. And I mean big trouble. So the St. Louis Cardinals, a team that conventionally does things the right way. This is a Midwest, good old fashioned, wholesome team, is being investigated. Not by Major League Baseball. No. By the FBI. Apparently, they're being investigated for hacking into networks and trying to steal information from the Houston Astros. And you know, this investigation started last year when some proprietary information was posted anonymously online. And there's a report now in the New York Times that says the FBI has evidence that Cardinals officials hacked into the Houston Astros database and had access to stats, scouting reports, internal discussions about players, about trades. Oh, this has a huge, huge reach here. This is something big. According to the Times report, Cardinals officials gained access by using a list of passwords associated with Astros GM Jeff Lunau, who was formerly in the office with the Cardinals. So they have some history with Lunau. He was working up there, and he apparently they just figured, well, let's try his passwords and see if they work. And they were working, and they were getting into the Astros database. Now, first off, what were the passwords that he was using? I mean, was he using like my dog's name? I'll just use my dog. Yeah, Lassie, and then like my favorite number. Was he using like his birthday? Or was he just like lazy and was just like, you know what? I don't got time to be thinking. Just leave it password. You know, when you're at your office and they're like, hey, right now your password's set at password, but make sure you change it. Maybe he was just like, you know what? I got stuff to do. I got to try to revive this Houston Astros team that has a history of being awful. I'm just going to leave it password. I ain't got time for that stuff. Let's jump into those NBA finals. Like I said before, NBA finals finish up last night. Little bit disappointed, to be honest. You know, we get to this time of year and you kind of just want, I want to extend the playoffs and the finals as long as we can. I really was hoping for a game 7, in both the NHL and the NBA. But you know, they both go 6 games. Hey, I told you last week and at the time, Golden State was down 2-1. I told you last week I would stay with my pick of Golden State in 6 games. Just throwing that out there. But remember, I'd said in game 3, when the Warriors got beat, I said I thought I saw a light click on, and it kind of looks like it did. Not only for the players, but for the coaching staff of the Warriors as well. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Let me ask you a question. Who should have been the most valuable player? Andre Iguodala was named the MVP. You know, like I said before, first player to get the MVP without starting every game. Also the first time that the finals MVP has been on the same team as the regular season MVP since Magic Johnson, who won it in 1980 with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was the regular season MVP. So since back to 1980, this is the first time that had happened. You know, it's interesting because Iguodala had been a starter, for a long, long, long time. Throughout the league, with Philadelphia, here in Denver, then in Golden State. But this season, Steve Kerr asked him to come off the bench. And I can tell you this, as a former coach, a guy that will come off the bench gives you so, it is so huge because it helps you so much. Not only does it sometimes change a little bit of the chemistry of the team, because maybe you have a guy, you know, starting that wouldn't start normally, and you've got some positive energy coming out, you've got some unselfishness, you've got guys looking at Iguodala saying, wow, he's taking a step back because he thinks it's better for the team. Not only does it do all those chemistry type things, but it physically does some things, because when he came in off the bench, it gives you energy, it gives you scoring punch, it gives you defensive capabilities that you didn't have otherwise. It just strengthens your team so much to have a guy that is that unselfish and is able to do that. Gets the MVP, and I want to talk a little bit about this. Do you realize this? Iguodala and LeBron James, the only two players that got votes. Only two players that got votes? Really? Steph Curry didn't get a single vote. Andre Iguodala, in the series against Cleveland, 16.3 points a game, 5.8 rebounds a game, 4 assists per game, and defended LeBron James. And I'm going to say defended LeBron James in quotation marks, because LeBron put up, 36 points a game. Should LeBron James have been the MVP? I mean, between him and Iguodala, they got all the votes. I've got someone who I think should have been the MVP, didn't get a single vote. And it's not Steph Curry. I think there's someone else out there. Really, really valuable. Should LeBron James have gotten it? I mean, you look at LeBron James. He was the best player in the series. But was he the most valuable player in the series? Let's take a look at his numbers. 35.8 points per game. 13.3 rebounds per game, 8.8 assists per game. 3.4 was his turnovers per game. Probably shouldn't bring that up. Here's the one problem. Here's the one problem I have with LeBron. Your 35.8 points per game came on 32 shots per game. Man, you're chucking up a lot of shots. That is Kobe-ish. That is Iverson-ish. 32 shots to get 36 points? That's a lot of shots. That's a ton of shots. Now, was LeBron valuable to the Cavaliers? Yes. Was he the most valuable player? No. You were really, really valuable in all those losses. You were so valuable that you lost four games. The thing is, this isn't a single elimination game. This is a seven-game series. This is a best of seven. You have your opportunities. And no, I don't feel bad for LeBron. Well, he just didn't have any help. I don't care. He chose to go there. Nobody twisted his arm to go there. And I realize it's a little bit different this year because he had the injury situation. He had those kind of things. But you chose to go to Cleveland. You made that decision. And the reason you chose to go to Cleveland was because the cupboard had gotten pretty bare down in Miami. So I don't feel bad for you. You don't just get to jump around and say, well, I'm going to go to this team now and I'm going to go to this team now. And oh, well, hey, all these guys got hurt. I don't care. You know, you only get so many chances at this thing. You only get so many chances at winning a ring and getting to these NBA finals. I don't, once you get there and you say, well, it was just all the injuries. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I mean, here's a thought. Here's a thought. And I'm just throwing this out there. Michael Jordan, people talk about, well, you know, by the end of everything, Michael Jordan had surrounded himself with a lot of talent. Yeah, he had. And do you know why he had? Because he was the fifth highest paid player on the Chicago Bulls. He took less money so he could make sure Pippen got paid. He took less money so he could make sure they could bring in Dennis Rodman. He took less money so he could make sure they got Tony Kukoc and get some of his role players a little more money. He took less money. You can bring in a couple more guys. Just don't have them max out your contract. So I don't feel bad about that. But here is my problem. And maybe we just have to look at LeBron James in a little bit different of a light. Maybe instead of looking him as this, hey, he's better than Jordan. I think we can put that stuff to rest. I think safely we can kind of put that stuff to bed because that we clearly don't have that situation. Jordan went six times, won all six. Never even got to an elimination game. LeBron has been six times, has only won two, and has kind of collapsed in elimination games. Hasn't looked real great in elimination games. Didn't look real good last night in an elimination game. Maybe LeBron is a really, really good loser. And I know that sounds bad. I know you're sitting there going, wait a second. I know that sounds bad. I'm saying he's really, really good, but he's on the losing side. I'm saying a little bit he's a loser, but I'm not saying he's a loser. I'm just saying he's a really good player that just happens to be on the losing team more time. Here's the problem. Last night, he deferred most of the time. And let's be real clear. He quit. He quit last night. Minute 54 left in the game. Steph Curry gets the outlet, comes flying down the floor, looking to get to the basket, looking to kill time, looking to add some more. And LeBron literally stood there and watched him do a layup. Game's not over. Somehow, J.R. Smith was still scrapping and trying to find a way to win. And I realize, I know, J.R. Smith's a little bit of a stat patter. He seems to put up those big shots and knock down those shots when the game is no longer in the balance. And to be fair, he probably had no idea what the score was or even what game they were in because he's J.R. Smith. So I understand some of that. But J.R. Smith wasn't quitting. Why wasn't LeBron James jumping over and making sure to not let Steph Curry get to the basket and lay in an easy layup? He just stood there and watched him. He was in the paint, and he turned around and went, oh, yeah, the game's over. I don't care. He quit. Spin that however you want. A lot of people saying LeBron James should have been the MVP. He got votes from the media. Best player, so he must be the MVP because he's the best player in the series, except that no. That's not the case. I can't just sit there and say best player equals MVP. Remember just a couple years ago when the Denver Broncos faced the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 43? Who's the greatest player probably in that game? It's probably Peyton Manning. But you lost. You're not the MVP. And I realize he had a bad game. That's not the case here with LeBron. LeBron had a very, very good statistical series. without much help. But let's say Peyton puts up 5 touchdowns and they still get blown out. So it's still 56-35. You're not the MVP. I realize best player, but you're not the MVP. Because you only have value if you're winning. Value is winning. He's really, really valuable. He was so valuable in our losses. He was really, without him, we really lose. That's not value. So I don't want to hear about LeBron James was the most valuable player. Well, yeah, he's really valuable in those losses, I guess. Let's look at in here. If you want to name it and you want to change the name of the award to the most outstanding player, then yes, give it to LeBron. He was easily the most outstanding player in the series, but he wasn't the most valuable. Steph Curry, you know, we talked a little bit. Andre Iguodala wins the most valuable player, 16.3 per game, 6 rebounds a game, 4 assists per game. Steph Curry, 26 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game. How on earth did Steph Curry not win the MVP? This reeks a little bit of some kind of spitefulness by the media, by the sports media, by the voters, and these are media guys that vote this award. This reeks a little bit of me, for some reason, and I don't know what the reason was, for some reason they didn't like Steph Curry. I don't know if it's because he chews on his mouthpiece like a pacifier. I don't know what it was, but there was something about Steph Curry that they didn't like. See, when you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, all of your eyes are on Steph Curry. Andre Iguodala, I'm not nearly as worried about him. Yes, I don't want him attacking the hoop, and I don't want to just give him penetration. I don't want to let him catch things in rhythm and shoot, but I'm not worried about Andre Iguodala. I'm worried about Steph Curry, because how many times did we see him go pick and roll, beat the trap, and make the pass, not necessarily the assist. As good as his assist numbers were, he had 6.3 assists per game. But how many times did he make the pass that led to the pass that led to the score? That's the thing that people don't understand. He sees the floor so well, and he handles the ball so well, that even though he wasn't the guy that got the assist necessarily, although he did quite a bit, even though he might not have been the guy that hit the shot, although he did quite a bit, he was the most valuable player because he made the pass that led to it. When you look at guys like Andre Iguodala, how many of his points, of his 16 points per game, came directly from Steph Curry? A bunch. Same thing with Klay Thompson. Same thing with Draymond Green. It all came from Steph Curry. He was the guy that was controlling this game. And I'll tell you right now, he was the guy that Cleveland said, he's the guy that's going to kill us. He's the guy we have to watch. He's the one that we have to be concerned about. Because not only will he kill us with his shooting, which he did in spots, and a couple games really went off, but he hurts you in other ways. He hurts you with his ball handling, he hurts you with his IQ, and he hurts you with his passing. And that's what killed him. Why he didn't get votes for the MVP, like I said, there's something going on there. Steph Curry, on the floor, MVP. My real MVP, I'm going to give you who I believe should have got the MVP award and didn't get a single vote, isn't going to be talked about. No one's going to mention him. But the guy that should get the MVP for the Golden State Warriors completely changed this series. Completely changed this series. I want you to think of some of these players. Harrison Barnes. Didn't show up early, but really came on late. Festus Ezeli had a huge game last night. Really, that putback dunk, I thought, kind of just broke the backs of the Cleveland Cavaliers and their fans. Draymond Green, Sean Livingston, Klay Thompson, David Lee, who, by the way, took over for Bogut and kind of made us forget that Andrew Bogut was even on the team. I'm watching the celebration last night. And you know, they're going to the podium and they're talking to Iguodala and they're talking to Steph, and I'm seeing Andrew Bogut back there, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're still on the team. I forgot about you. All of these guys I just mentioned owe one person a huge, huge thank you. Golden State Warriors head consultant since 2011. Best personnel guy in the business, and it's not even close. Jerry West. Jerry West is the most valuable player of this series. He put these pieces together. Do not underestimate the value that he had to the Golden State Warriors. And I want you to think about this, because it's not just the Warriors that he's done this with. We know the success that Jerry West had with the Los Angeles Lakers. and the amazing job that he did with there. I mean, bringing in Shaquille, bringing in Kobe Bryant. You basically traded Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant. Are you kidding me? But not only did he do it with the Lakers, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people who have had success with the Lakers. He went to Memphis and had success there. And he went in to the Warriors, who have a history of mediocrity. I mean, their claim to fame, maybe 40 years ago with Rick Barry. But since then, their claim to fame is like, the Hardaway, Mullen, Mitch Richmond. They had nothing. Manute Bol there for a while. I mean, Golden State was just mediocre. Mediocre. Every single year. And somehow, Jerry West came in and rebuilt this team. Remember, in the offseason, he said he would quit. He would be done if they traded Klay Thompson for Kevin Love. Doesn't he look like a genius now? Jerry West is really, really undervalued. Everywhere he goes, the man wins. Unbelievable. Unbelievable kind of career that he's had. The logo, just amazing. And people don't go back and YouTube some of his playing days. My goodness, what a phenomenal player. You want to talk about a scorer. But what he has done in the front office of now three different organizations should not be undervalued. Give Steve Kerr a lot of credit. Rookie head coach. And I think a guy that, if you know a little bit of his background with his father and what happened when he was a kid at Arizona and that kind of stuff, his playing career, getting the most out of his playing career that he did with, not a lot of skill set, from the standpoint of athleticism and that kind of thing. He deserves a lot of credit. He outcoached David Blatt. And LeBron James, who really is probably the coach. He decided in that game three, we're going to go small and we're not going to match up with you very well at the one end, but we're going to be faster than you are. And you're not going to be able to match up with us either. And you might beat us inside. You might have Mozgov go for 25. You might have Mozgov go for 28, but he's going to have to step out and guard some people. And we're going to wear you out. Because you have to chase us. You know, at the beginning of game four, and I thought game four was the most pivotal game in this series. When they won game four, I said, yeah, the series is over. And I realized it was only 2-2, but I said, this game is over. Early on, if you'll remember in game four, and that was the game that LeBron flung himself up into the crowd and smashed his head into the camera. Remember that? Right after we had talked about him being a drama, whatever. But that was the game. One of the first timeouts of the game, Steve Kerr has gone with his smaller lineup. He's gone with these smaller guys. And I mean, his starting lineup was going 6'3", 6'6", 6'7", and 6'8". I mean, not big guys. Against Cleveland, who was going, with 6'8", 6'9", and 7'1", you had some, a definite size advantage. In the first timeout of that game four, I heard Steve Kerr say to his guys, hey, it's okay. We're down now. They're going to get tired because they're going to have to chase us. And he was absolutely right. They defended the size with speed, and you saw even last night. Did Mozgov hurt them inside? Sure he did. Did he have to really work hard to hurt them inside? Yeah, because you had a lot of guys slapping at the ball and getting it low, and maybe they couldn't compete with him size-wise, but speed-wise, they were like gnats flying around him, and he had to work really, really hard. And when big guys start to get tired, they start to foul. And we started to see that late last night. Mozgov ran out of gas. LeBron ran out of gas. I think the entire Cavs team that was on the floor just kind of ran out of gas and didn't have anything left. Give Steve Kerr a lot of credit for that. He trusted his system and his depth, got some great contributions from his bench. As we do every single week, we bring to you our Daily Dose Top 5. And the top five, you never know where it's going to go. Sometimes we look back historically at things. Sometimes we look forward at things that are coming. Sometimes we just look at some random items that are out there. This week, our Daily Dose Top 5, and you're going to have to think back about this. Remember back in like game one, game two, game three of this series? There was one guy in this series that was getting all of the love, and I mean all of the love. The media loved him. The people in Cleveland loved him. The most popular guy in this series was Cavaliers point guard Matthew Dellavedova. Everybody fell in love with him. I mean, they were talking about, oh man, he's shutting down Steph Curry. He's just such a scrapper. He's doing all these amazing things. Everybody was in love with Matthew Dellavedova. From the media to the fans. I mean, there were these little spots on ESPN about what a job he is doing. And our Daily Dose Top 5 this week is going to be the top 5 reasons that everyone fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. And they might not be what you think. They might be a little different than what you think. So I want you just to think back just a couple games ago, because we saw that kind of went away. We saw Dellavedova eventually, the cream rises to the top, and we kind of saw him start to go away. But I just want to just show you why everybody fell in love with him, because the reasons, like I said, might be a little different thing. Number five on our list, why everyone fell in love with Dellavedova. It's a blue collar town. Cleveland is a blue collar town, and they have an appreciation for a blue collar guy. These are guys, that go to work every day, and this is kind of a tough town. I mean, Cleveland is that way, and so they have a respect for the hard work that he does. And let's be honest, he doesn't have a huge skill set. It's not like this is the most athletic guy in the world. He's getting by on a lot of coaches. I've heard that he's got a lot of sand on him. He's a pretty gritty player. I don't know if he's very good, but he's pretty gritty. And I think it plays well in a town like Cleveland, where they look at him and say, well, he doesn't have all the skills, but man, he works hard. Something to be said for that. One of the reasons people fell in love with him. Number four on our list of why people fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. He doesn't look like a player. I mean, let's be real honest. He's got those heavy legs. He kind of looks like Teen Wolf. He looks like the owners were coming in and there was a guy outside in like a jean jacket and a flannel shirt and drinking a Natty Light, and they were like, "Hey, dude, we got a spot tonight. You want to start?" And go, "Yeah, I'll start." And so he doesn't look the part. And for the idea that, here's a guy that he doesn't look like even belongs out there, and somehow he's making plays, he's contributing, and he's helping them win a little bit. There is something to be said for that. I think a lot of people fell in love with that aspect of Matthew Dellavedova. Here's a guy that he doesn't even look like he belongs there, and somehow he's got a jersey, and he's playing, and he's getting some things done. I think that was one of the reasons people kind of fell in love with him. Number three on our list, why people fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova, is he was helping them win. He was doing that dirty work, the diving for loose balls, the getting the scrappy rebounds. There were even a couple games in those first two or three games, he even made a couple shots. And granted, that's one of the ugliest shots I've seen. It looks like he is shot putting the basketball. A couple of them went in. Maybe they were like bank threes. But I realized that started to go away gradually over time. But initially, he was helping them have some success. And there was definitely an appreciation for that from the media and the fans. Number two, and a lot of people aren't going to want to talk about this, but I do think that there was some appreciation for this. I think there was a feeling, especially among Cleveland fans, he might just take out their best player. So number two on our list is maybe he'll just knock out Steph Curry. Maybe he'll dive into his legs. Hey, he's knocked out. He took Al Horford out. He took Kyle Korver out. Maybe he'll just take, Steph Curry out. Maybe he'll take Klay Thompson out. Maybe he'll take out Draymond Green. There was a little bit of a feeling that maybe Matthew Dellavedova, hey, it's Cleveland. It's not like they're above charity right now. If you sat there and said, hey, you're going to win a championship, but in order to do it, you're going to have to shred Steph Curry's knee. Yeah, go do it. Done. I don't care. They will take whatever they can get. It's Cleveland. And so the fact that Dellavedova might take out your best player. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's the breaks. Again, blue collar town, toughness. If our guy takes out your guy, too bad for you. Now we get down to the number one reason why Cleveland fans across the world, the United States, of course, down in Australia, the media, sports media fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. And I think, to be real honest, I think this is the number one reason people fell in love with him across America. I'm gonna channel my inner Oprah for this. The number one reason people fell in love with Matthew Dellavedova. He's white! Hey, we do have a little bit of a different week for you, but hopefully you enjoy taking a look back at some of the previous episodes of The Daily Dose. I have to say thank you all so much for listening to The Dose. For all of you that share the show, thank you so much. It is appreciated. Remember, if you're not subscribed to The Dose wherever you listen, just click that little follow or subscribe button and you won't miss a single episode. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com and pick up some of that Daily Dose gear. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.